Thank you very much. Pleasure to all of you be here today. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to those that are watching on live streaming. We may have some folks who can't be here because of health or travel. And let me be sure this is... You got me picking up? Okay. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. First verse I want to look at is verse number 16. This time of the year we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are saved by grace through faith. And under grace, we're not under law. So the celebrations that we do are not a law unto us. And so people have different ways that they celebrate. Some celebrate the Lord's birth by not celebrating at all, by not using trees or lights or any of the trappings that we have even here in the church today. And then many use these kind of things. I know we got a couple ladies in the church that have about 4 Christmas trees in their house. And they may keep them decorated all year long, I'm not sure. But I know for sure they get them decorated in time for Thanksgiving or something of that nature. In Matthew 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This is the genealogy that Matthew records, that Jesus is the son of Abraham and the son of David, that he might be the king of the Jews. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus in all capital letters. Names mean something in the Bible. They have to do with the character of a person. They have to do with the family heritage of a person, the ancestral lineage, and the names describe the character of the people. In Romans chapter 1, and verse 3 through 6. Romans 1, 3 says, Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, the name that he was given by the angels, back in the book of Luke chapter 1 and beginning with verse 30. And the angel said unto her, angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary was told by the angel that she would be with child, and she questioned in this passage. She said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And they said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." He said, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." God miraculously impregnated a virgin who remained a virgin until she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they called his name when he was born Jesus. Jesus is the transliteration from Greek, from the Hebrew. The Hebrew, translated into Greek, is a transliteration. It is the name Joshua in English. Jesus, we call, comes from the Greek. Yeshua is the Hebrew. And Yeshua can be translated Jesus through Greek to English, or for the Hebrews, to Joshua. Christ is the title of our Lord. It is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. That names mean the same, Christ and Messiah. He is the anointed one of God who was able to provide redemption for us. The Son of God, from the book of Isaiah, a virgin would conceive and bear a child. They should call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted means God with us. Jesus is God with us. There's a lot in those names that we think about. God came to be with us, to show us visibly in Christ who God is and what God does and the caring, loving nature of God toward us as sinners. And Christ willingly died on the cross to pay for our sins. It's only through him that we have salvation. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And Jesus is the Savior and Lord of all. Jesus made it abundantly clear in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." Only through Christ can people be saved. That's not religion, that's God's word. The name Christ is a title, not really a name. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title, the anointed one of God, or to the Hebrew people, the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. In John 4:25, the Bible shows that the woman at the well had enough teaching of Scripture that she knew that they were looking for Messiah to come. In John 4:25, the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Not many times did he more directly reveal who he is than at that point in time to this woman at the well. In John 6, verse 66 through 69. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, because Jesus explained to them, we must partake of him in order to be saved. And he gave them an illustration that we now understand is the Lord's Supper, where we eat the bread that represents his broken body, and we take the juice which represents his shed blood, and we partake of him, and he is within us. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Understanding who Jesus is, the name that was given. Some of the prophets knew of this from way back in Psalm 2 and verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. David was the king of Israel, the most beloved king of all the kings that Israel had. Christ is a descendant in the human genealogy, both on Mary and Joseph's side. They were both descended from the tribe of Judah and came from the lineage of Abraham and David. David speaks prophetically of what's going to happen in the future. In Psalm 110 and verse 1 through 6, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. This is a prophetic understanding by the psalmist David that what would happen in the future with his descendant, that Christ would rule and reign over men, and in the tribulation period, he would defeat their enemies before he set up his kingdom to rule and to reign. Jesus Christ would be Emmanuel, back in Matthew 1, verse 22 and 23. The quote from Isaiah 7:14, that he would be God with us. And Jesus Christ is God with us. Everything that is of God was in the person of Jesus Christ. The difference, Christ was spirit for all eternity before the fullness of time came, and he took on flesh, the incarnation, so he could become a man without a sinful nature, to be the one man who could die for our sins and offer his blood to the Father in payment for all our sins. And thank God that he willingly came. He is the Christ of God, the anointed one, the only begotten Son of God. Begotten meaning birthed. The only birthed Son. Why do you say that? Because 1 John 3 makes it very clear, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are the sons of God by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ is the only birthed Son of God, the one who became the perfect man to take away our sins, and he willingly laid down his life." Philippians describes him in chapter 2 and says he emptied himself of all form and appearance as God, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was in the likeness of sinful man, yet he himself was without sin. Therefore, he was qualified to pay the price for you and for me. The Lord laid aside his glory. In John 17, in verse 1 through 5, if you'd like to look there, John 17 and verse 1 through 5, one reason I quote these scriptures and take time to turn is we have people watching at home that can write down the scripture references and then look them up later. John 17, verse 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Christ in his glory would soon take his place at the right hand of the Father. But first he must die on Calvary and be buried in the earth and rise again from the dead and commission his disciples and make sure they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then he would ascend back into heaven and be seated on the right hand of the Father. He is Lord and Savior. Lord means ruler or master, one who is in authority. The expression in the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament that was used at the time that Christ was upon the earth, used the Greek kurios to translate from Jehovah. So Lord, when it's all capital letters, is referring to Jehovah, who is God. Disciples address Jesus as Lord. They never became so familiar with him or showed any lack of respect to him in the sense that they didn't just call him Jesus. They called him Lord. They would make that the title that they used to describe him. In the great storm at sea, when they cried out, "Lord, save us, we perish," Jesus calmed the winds and the sea, and they were amazed at the power that he possessed. James, a servant of the Lord, wrote the book of James, described himself as the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is often how they wrote about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas, who doubted because he was not with the other disciples when they saw the resurrected Savior, he doubted. He said, "I'll have to put my fingers in his wounds before I'll believe he's risen from the dead." Later, Jesus appeared to the disciples again, and this time Thomas was present. He said, "Thomas, come and put your fingers in the wounds, and do not doubt and be unbelieving." And Thomas fell down before him and cried, "My Lord and my God," in John chapter 20 and verse number 28. The disciples continued to refer to him as the Lord, or wrote about him as the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize Jesus as Lord, Peter preached to the people that this was needed of them, and they had failed to acknowledge him as they should have in Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. This is the one who is the babe born in the manger. This is the one we celebrate his birth. This is the one when Easter time comes around that we celebrate his resurrection from the dead. The one who came to bring life and forgiveness of sins came and died on the cross in our place, substituting himself for us and the judgment that we rightly deserve. Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was a little bit religious. I went to church. I didn't go faithfully, but my wife, when we got married, we came from the same church background. We were Methodists. And we went to Sunday school sometimes. We went to church sometimes. And then I began working with some men at Duke Energy up at McGuire Nuclear Plant. And they began to witness to me about the Lord and about the Bible. I began to realize I certainly didn't know as much as I thought I did. And so we happened to have, I was going to York Technical College at night taking courses. And one of the men in the class was a highway patrolman who had took me to jail when I was a teenager for outrunning a patrol car. City police car couldn't catch up with me, but the highway patrol did after I wrecked. And they took me to jail. And that guy happened to be a student in the class with me. He had come off the road and had taken a job at the driver's license examining office and was over the people that were giving tests to get your driver's license. And he said, I remember you. I remember that night. That was an old highway patrol car you was driving. That's the reason you outrun that city cop car. I said, yes, sir. He said, son, you got to learn. You'll never outrun the radio no matter what you do. I said, yeah, I figured that out later. He said, I'm going to a new church. Just got started a year ago. We just had the 1-year anniversary. He said, why don't you and your wife come and go with me? And I said, you know, there have been some men I work with witnessing to me about the Lord. And that's the same kind of church they go to. It's an independent Baptist church. So my wife and I went that morning. And that day we got saved. September 14th, 1975. God saved us. In a very short time, a year later in September, I was in seminary in Springfield, Missouri. God pulled me in with a burden to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor him, to help point people to him, to be saved as we now have been saved and understand. He is Lord and Savior. The angel announced, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, Lord and Savior. He is deliverer, sustainer, rescuer, giver of life, the preserver. He is the one we worship. Titus calls him our great God and Savior, who is coming again. We have the blessings of knowing the Lord and our sins being forgiven, having a home in heaven, having the Spirit of God to dwell within us, to enlighten us as we learn his word and know what is going to take place. Herod understood that the Messiah of the Jews being born meant he was eligible to be the king of the Jews. In Matthew 2:4, Herod called in the scribes and the Pharisees and requested, where is it in the Bible that the Messiah is to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. There's no mention in the Bible of the scribes and the Pharisees going to Bethlehem. The men who came asking about where is he that is born King of the Jews, they told them, and Herod said, if you find him, then come back and tell me. I want to worship him also. But Herod wanted to kill him because Herod considered himself the King of the Jews. He didn't want a battle. He didn't want Messiah defeating Rome and setting up a kingdom. And so all Israel was disturbed by the news that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he was born of the Virgin. All the prophecies about the Messiah are fulfilled in the person of Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Revelation 19, the Bible speaks of him coming again. And it tells us he'll come with a name written upon his thigh, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He will be the ruler of all men, the king over all kings of the earth, the one who will fight the battle of Armageddon and then set up his kingdom. And in his kingdom, his people will rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Read Revelation chapter 20. But that's not the end. We are looking for new heavens and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. This brief life of tinsel and trappings that lures us to spend all of our energies to live today for the best we can live is just a brief period of time compared to where we're going to live with the Lord forever and forever. Christ is preparing a place for those who believe in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We celebrate a day of his birth. We often put up lights on trees and on the streets. Why would cities that will not get involved in religion put Christmas lights up and down the streets of a city? Because it's become a tradition. They don't even understand what it represents. He is the light of the world, and because of that, we acknowledge him. Part of our separation, no doubt, probably comes from the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah, the festival of lights. The 9 candles on the menorah that they light, one each night of Hanukkah. The last candle is the servant candle that lights all the others. He is the light of the world. Isaiah said he'll be a light to the Gentiles. He is the light that brings the message of the gospel to us. And we celebrate with lights at this season of the year. December 25th is established as a day to celebrate the birth of Christ. Most all of you know we don't know if that was the day that he was born. It very probably was not. But it has been the day that is celebrated. And we worship him, not the day. We not worship the buildings of the church. We don't worship stained glass windows. We don't worship saints that are dead, nor Mary herself, but Jesus and him alone. There are many things that happen during this season of the year. There were pagan celebrations back at the time of Christ. But we are not pagan in our celebrations. We are worshiping the Lord and Savior. They gave gifts one to another. Folks often try to find fault with many of the celebrations that we have about this season of the year. If you go back in your Bibles to the books of Nehemiah and also of Esther, let's look at Esther 9:22. I think I can make my point from that one passage. Before Psalms. You sleepy out there? Esther 9 and verse 22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. You see, that's the kind of celebration sentiment that the church has. In Nehemiah 8, verse 9 and 10, Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, neither nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Those kind of celebrations is what our celebration of the birth of Christ is all about. To let ourselves understand who He is and be thankful that He came to die for us that we might be saved. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we give Him our worship and adoration. And He is our Lord. Therefore, we look to His will for what we do and what we do not do. Thank you all for being here today. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. And I guess we'll have a verse of invitation. Maybe the pianist will play for us. We want to share Christ with you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, please slip out from where you are and come. Let's stand together and have prayer. Father, bless this invitation time as we think on you. We worship you. We bow before you. We ascribe worth unto you. For you are worthy of our praise and adoration. You who received the praise of angels and laid that aside to come and die for us are now seated with the Father, again receiving the worship that you are due. And we look forward to the day where we will be there to see you in person and fall before you and offer our praise for all you've done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.